Amen. And God is good to us. And Brother Butler, I will have to testify, watching your video gives me no comfort. Our oldest daughter leaves Monday for a 10-day medical missions trip with the Lundys. I'm assuming you guys were with the Lundys. She went to school with the oldest.
Seth.
Yes, yeah, she went to school with Seth. And so she got arm twisted, I guess. Someone from their church had was going to go and paid for the trip and then backed out or something. And then her mother-in-law signed up for it. And so to be a good daughter-in-law, she took whoever's place. They paid for it, but she's taken their place. And so I'll confess, I feel like, as a dad, you have to understand, I was in the pastorate up until 3 years ago, and we did a lot of missions things, and I've taken the teenagers of our church on a missions trip, and I sent my oldest, my second oldest, and another girl from the church. I put them on a plane and shipped them to Jamaica for a week one summer, but I knew who they were going to work with. I knew what the conditions were, and I knew that the missionary would keep an eye on them. And Jeremy, would you do me a favor? Would you stand up? Would you stand up? Do you see how big Jeremy is? Amen. Yeah. All right, thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate that. I knew that there was a young man named Jeffrey that worked with the missionary. He was as big as Jeremy, and his job was to look out for them. Yeah. And so I was sitting there going, okay, I have no clue what she is getting into in the Amazon. And so, parents...
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand and feel some of that apprehension. And so anyway, all right, if you've got your Bibles, amen, you didn't come to hear me ramble. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Now let me ask you this question. How many of you did your homework?
Amen.
All right. I got a couple of folks. No, the rest of you did your homework.
Uh-oh.
Jeremy, you did not do your homework. Man, I tell you what. Chris, did you do your homework? Oh, man, I tell you. All right, now we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, your homework for tomorrow night. Hey, by the way, it's Thursday night.
Amen.
Thank you for being here.
Amen.
Many of you have worked all day today. It's been hot outside.
Yep.
Amen. And thank you for coming. Now, if you see someone who's not here, tomorrow night's Friday night. Give them a call tomorrow.
Yep.
Tell them, hey, you're not working Saturday. Come to church on Friday night.
Yeah.
You'd rather be in the church house than the jail house.
Yeah.
You'd rather be in the church house than the bar house.
Oh,
amen. And so your homework tomorrow or by tomorrow night is to read 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Now, if this is your first service, you're going to have to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and you'll have to catch up with us a little bit. Maybe get the tape or the CD or whatever, and that way you'll be a little more caught up with where we're at. But all I said we would do is we're going to walk through the Scriptures and we're going to see what God says in His Word. Whose word is this? God's word. It's not Curtis's words.
Oh,
all right? And I hope last night that you saw, I don't put a whole lot of my opinion in it. All I really do is expound the Scripture and show you what God says in His Word. I said it last night. So many times, most of us, we go through Scriptures more quickly than what we should.
That's right.
To fully grasp the meaning of what God is saying to us. And so tonight, again, we're going to sit down and we're going to go through 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 to a degree. I'm not going through the whole chapter because there's supper waiting on us after the service. Amen. Anybody like to eat?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Good. And so if the speaker speaks short, we get to eat faster. Amen. And I haven't had supper, and I'm Baptist. I like to eat. And so we're going to pray, and then we're going to look right into the Scriptures. Father, thank you again for the privilege that we have to call you Father if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And Lord, we are joint heirs with Jesus. Lord, the Bible says, now are ye the sons of God. Lord, that is if we have received Christ. We've received the Spirit of adoption. Lord, while Jesus is the only begotten, the rest of us are adopted into the family through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would meet here with us tonight. Help us to look at your word and see what your word says. And Lord, use that in this conference, in this church, and help us to understand and grasp the meaning and the importance and the scriptural application of faith, promise, missions. And so, Lord, we give you the honor and the glory for what it will be accomplished, and because you deserve it all. So please meet with us and speak to our hearts through your word. Sanctify thy word. Thy word is truth. And we'll thank you for what you do. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 1. The Apostle Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how then a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you this same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Now notice verse number 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. But I simply entitled the message, the Example Missions Churches. Example Missions Churches. Because Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. We know that. We saw that last night. And he is using in this chapter, if you would, remember 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he first writes the mention of faith giving or grace giving, this thing of faith promise. And then I told you last night that I believe that the church wrote back to him and said, hey, you put at the end of your letter, this salutation, this thing about grace giving, could you explain that a little more? And so he begins now in chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10, taking three chapters and going in more detail explaining this, but so that we understand, the church at Corinth was a very wealthy church. The city of Corinth was an area that was a crossroads, not only by land, but also a crossroads by sea. And it was the Corinthian people were very wealthy people. But yet the churches in Macedonia, does anybody know what the churches in Macedonia were? He says, we do you to wit. See that phrase, to wit? That phrase, to wit, basically means to know. Yeah. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you, or we want you to know of what? Of the grace of God. Amen. You know what grace is? Grace is unmerited favor. Amen. Now, how many of us enjoy the unmerited favor of God?
Amen.
That is salvation.
Amen.
The unmerited favor. There is nothing any one of us can do by our merit to earn our salvation.
Right.
It is unmerited.
Right.
If I got what I deserved and you got what you deserved, we would spend eternity in hell because of our sin. But God gives us the grace. For by grace are you saved through faith.
Amen.
And that is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he says, we want you to know of the grace, the unmerited favor of God. Now notice that phrase, bestowed.
Yeah.
Bestowed. You know what the word bestowed means? Confer. The word bestowed means to give something without merit.
Yeah.
It is the re-emphasis of the merit aspect or the unmerit aspect. Let me illustrate what I mean. Let's say your pastor Let's say your pastor, Brother Butler's home church and college, Lone Star. Let's say that they contact your pastor and say, now, Brother Fogg, we would like for you to come be a part of our graduation services. And we are going to bestow upon you an honorary doctorate. And now, has he done anything for that doctorate? No. It's an honorary. But they are going to bestow. If you've ever been where you see someone, you see politicians and other people will receive honorary doctors, and they'll say, now we bestow upon you. Right. What they're doing is they are saying, we are conferring to you without any merit by you this honor.
Yeah.
And Paul is writing, he says, I want you to know of the unmerited favor of God conferred without any merit of what you have done. What does he say? On the churches of Macedonia. Of Macedonia. Who are the churches of Macedonia? Well, you have the church at Philippi.
Yeah.
We know of the church at Philippi from the book of Philippians.
Right.
Then we have the church at Thessalonica.
Yeah.
Right? We know that there was a church at Thessalonica because there were two letters written to the church at Thessalonica. And then another church called Berea that we read about in Scriptures. You know why the church at Berea was so important? Because they were called Berean Christians. Why? What was so special about them? Because they didn't take what a preacher said just because a preacher said it. The Bible says they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, I want you to look at me and I want you to listen to me. People can get behind a pulpit and they can say things in such a manner that you'll be swinging from the rafters. We better start listening to what is said according to Scripture and not how it is said. I've heard some preachers say some pretty foolish things, but boy, the way they said it, people were hollering amen, and I'm sitting there going, do they understand what they just amened? I heard a guy preach against answering machines. This was years ago, because nobody has answering machines now. I'm telling you how old I am, right? And I thought to myself, what a waste of 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, folks, look at me. The Bereans were part of the churches of Macedonia. The church at Berea was one of those. All right? They searched the Scriptures daily. That's why I like taking you through Scripture. Because I told you last night, I'll tell you again tonight. When we get done, it's not my words.
Right.
It's God's words.
Yeah.
I'm the messenger. I will show you what God says in His Word. Then it's up to you.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
You have a choice. Obey or disobey.
Right.
It's up to you.
Yep.
If you choose to disobey, you're not disobeying me.
Right. That's right.
I'm the mailman. It's not my words. They're God's words.
Amen.
If you disobey, it's not with me. It's with God.
Amen.
You know, I learned a long time ago that if I would preach like this, one, I'd keep myself out of trouble. So I preached not too long ago for a guy I did not know, and he stood up and he says, well, don't think there's anything in that message I can disagree with. And I sat there and told me he sat there and listened to see if there was something he could disagree with. And I thought to myself, you know, if we just get back to Bible preaching.
Amen.
But Paul is writing, he says, I want you to know of the grace, the unmerited favor bestowed, conferred on the churches of Macedonia. And listen, you go study out those churches of Macedonia in Scripture and you learn about the grace that God bestowed or conferred on those churches. And he says here in verse number 2, the end of verse number 1 is a semicolon, letting us know that this is a continuing thought. He says in verse number 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. I want you to understand, first of all, tonight, the example that these missions churches give us is, number 1, they gave out of their poverty. They gave out of their poverty. And look with me again. It says, in a great trial of affliction. And a great trial of affliction. You know, stop and think with me. If you were going through a great trial of affliction, you know, then you're going to be pretty focused on what you're going through.
That's right.
Now, don't get mad at me, but most of the time when we are going through a personal trial of affliction, we get very self-motivated. We get very self-focused on what we are going through. We're not thinking about, well, I'm going through this, help me to be a blessing to someone else. Most of the time when we're going through a great trial of affliction, we're sitting there going, God, can you please help me? But wait a minute. These believers in the churches of Macedonia and their great trial of affliction and everything that they are going through continued to be faithful to God to give to get the gospel unto the regions beyond them. And in so doing, the Bible says, it says the abundance of their joy. The abundance of their joy. Afflictions and joy are not two things that you would think go together. But God is looking and God is saying, you don't understand that when I put you through great trials of affliction, how that it can work out joy in your life for His honor and for His glory. I will prove it to you. Every single one of us have the joy of salvation, but yet Jesus was afflicted like no one has ever been. And the Bible says in Isaiah, He was beaten beyond human recognition. The Bible says His visage was so marred. That means you could not recognize who Jesus was. Do you think that was a great trial of affliction? Yeah, we know it was, because the Bible says in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, as it were, great drops of blood, and says, Father, if this be possible, let this cup pass. Wait a minute, the next words He prayed was, nevertheless. Not my will, but Thy will. There is not a single one of us that has ever prayed, God, give me affliction. If you pray for patience, you're praying for trials. And your pastor said, Lord, increase our faith. Well, okay, you pray and ask God to increase your faith. You know what is going to happen? According to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you're going to go through some great trials to increase our faith. Hey, Peter still holds the world record for walking on water. But he sank. Hey, the other 11, they were still sitting in the boat. You do realize the Bible says if we had faith as the grain of a mustard seed. You know, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, you understand He's making reference to Himself in the third party. But He says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? And Jesus said, when I come back, you know what I'm going to be looking for? I'm going to be looking for faith. Now look at me. They gave out of their poverty. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Why? Because it did not matter the afflictions they were going through. They understood who was in charge of their life. When we go through great trials of affliction, it is to cause us not to self-focus, but it is to cause us to focus on God and say, God, I do not know, I do not understand, I do not comprehend, but I am Your child, and I will choose to focus on You, and I can have joy even during the great trial of affliction. Why? Because of whose I am.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but I'm a child of the King. a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I am a child of the King. How then a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. You know, it's kind of like this. Here's the best Bible example I can give you. Do you know the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath?
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question. The widow of Zarephath, there was a great famine in the land, the Bible says, in that day.
Yep.
Do you think she was in a great trial of affliction?
Yeah.
Elijah shows up to Zarephath, and you know, and the Lord moved him. The brook dried up and says, get thee down to Zarephath. And notice what the Lord says, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.
Amen.
Yep. A widow woman.
Right.
God has a way about using widows as the greatest example of faith in Scripture. I've commanded a widow woman there. You know, Elijah was a pretty young, healthy man.
Yep.
And here's a widow woman. Elijah shows up at Zarephath and he sees this widow woman. And he says, hey, well, you're not a... I'll use Miss Hall. Miss Hall's being a widow tonight. Amen. All right. Hey, make me a cake. And she says, I'm going to collect some sticks. I've got enough for me and my son. And I'll bake it, and then we're going to die. You know what Elijah says? Elijah says, okay, go get the sticks, make me a cake first.
Yes, sir.
If that was the average preacher today, he'd be run out on a rail. Yeah. A widow would be looking at him going, you're big, strong, strapping young man. You go get the sticks and fix it yourself. Wait a minute. God told him before he ever got there, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.
That's right.
What she did? She was obedient.
Amen.
What does the Bible say happened to her? The Bible says the crews failed not.
That's right.
All the days of the famine.
Yep.
You know what that means? I mean, she was obedient in her great trial of affliction to be obedient to God, abounded unto her joy and the riches of her liberality, and God continued to provide day after day after day after day. Do you know the Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread.
Right.
Now, I'll preach to the baptistry when I say this. But we do not go to Walmart and buy bread every single day.
Nope.
We become very self-sufficient.
Amen. Yep.
We go buy a week's worth of groceries.
Uh-huh.
And we've told God, God, I really don't need you today. And God says, I've got to put you in a great trial of affliction to get you back to the joy of the Lord and us trusting Him. That means they gave out of their poverty. And now, look, folks, look at me. Again, Paul is using the poorest of the churches in Macedonia, as the example of giving to one of the richest churches there was, one of the wealthiest churches, the church at Corinth. That is an oxymoron to us. But there's so many things that God does that is an oxymoron to us. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, they gave out of their poverty. Wait a minute. They were obedient. And joy comes from being obedient to God. Number one, they gave out of their poverty. Number two, look with me if you would in verse number three. They were willing to give beyond their power. They were willing to give beyond their power. Verse number three, it says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. You know, giving more than you are able requires faith.
Yes, ma'am.
Requires faith. It says there, beyond their power. Let me help you out tonight. How do you give beyond your power? Well, last night we dealt with the thing of tithes and offerings, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You know, what is the tithe? The tenth. Ten what? 10%. Huh. A percentage. Yeah. Remember last night, as God hath prospered them? Let me ask you a question. Can God trust you? Can God trust you?
Amen.
See, the tithe is God trusting you to be obedient.
That's right. Amen.
The faith promise offering is you trusting God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Can God trust you?
Good.
It starts with the tithe.
Yes, sir.
Can God trust you?
Yes, sir.
You say, oh, preacher, hey, listen, tithing I have no problem with. I can do it. Okay, God trusts you. Can you trust God?
Absolutely. Amen.
Can you trust God?
Amen.
Absolutely. Amen.
I don't know. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?
Yeah.
But he says, beyond their power. The tithe. I was challenged by this several years ago. The tithe is a percentage. So most of the time, God really looks at us and says, I can't really trust you. Otherwise, he would prosper us more.
Amen, brother.
All right, let me illustrate. Chris, come here. I told Chris I was going to use him tonight. I'm going to hire Chris to work for me. All right? I'm going to pay him $100 a week. Yeah. Y'all help me out. What is his tithe?
$10.
$10. All right? Now, Chris is going to be a good Christian. He's going to give to missions, right?
Yes, sir.
Out of that, all right? God can trust you. Let's say Chris is a good employee and he's doing a good job. And so I come to Chris and I say, after a few months, and say, Chris, I will give you a raise. You're a good worker. What increases?
Tithe.
His tithe.
Yeah, come on.
Right.
Yeah.
Why didn't his faith promise increase?
Sure. Good call.
Yeah.
You're right.
Beyond his power.
Yes, sir. You're right.
Now, Lord, if you can trust me,
you might.
I'm going to be obedient.
That's good.
Now, Lord, I want to give beyond what I think I can do because I understand what you've done for me.
Amen.
So, Lord, as you increase me, I will continue to increase.
Amen.
Now, look, the preacher is going to get mad at me. But most of the time what we do is we make this commitment and then we say, okay, I'm locked in for a year.
Yeah.
And you give God no incentive to increase you.
Amen, brother. That's right.
You wouldn't be upset if a few months into this, if Chris got a raise at his job and he went from $100 a week to $125 and he says, well, you know, my tithe went up $250. Lord, I'm just going to trust that you will continue to be good to me and I'm going to increase my missions another $2.50.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now when he makes this, is that beyond his power?
Yeah.
It puts it in God's power.
Yes,
I want you to listen to this statement. What will God give through you that he will not give to you?
Amen.
We talked to it, he reads in this. Every man as he purposeth in his heart. Last night, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 dealt with as God hath prospered him. So you're going to take an inventory as God's prospered you and then you're going to purpose. But wait a minute, the example that Paul uses under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is a group of churches that went beyond their power. They said, Lord, we can't really do this. But we are trusting you.
Yeah. Amen.
And so as you enable us, we will continue to do more. Thank you, Chris.
Amen.
See, the honest truth is most of us don't give God an incentive to trust us.
Yeah. Amen.
Come on. Great.
Right.
Because most of us, if God gives us the increase, well, we're shouting and praising God for the next year, and we're not thinking about, oh, we write the tithe check for the increase. Because that's not what we know we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Boy, you know, I told you last night, it'd be easy if I could tell you in Scripture, here's what you're supposed to do for missions by faith. You've got to take inventory.
Right.
As God's prospered you. But the example that God uses is a group of churches that go beyond their power. How did they do that? They place themselves in God's hands and they say, okay, God, the tithe is you trusting me. And faith promise is me trusting you. I'm going to go beyond my power and I'm going to make a commitment to you, Lord. You understand I'm using him as an example. Right? And say, here's what I feel you would have me to do. Here's, Lord, if I can trust you. We go beyond our power.
Amen.
And say, okay, Lord, I'll put my missions on a percentage. Now what you've done is now you've just said, okay, Lord, if you prosper me more, that means I'm giving more.
Amen.
Because if he prospers you more, your tithe goes up more.
That's
right. So why don't you tell him all of your giving will go up more? That helps you to go beyond your power. That helps you go beyond looking at your budget,
right,
saying, this is what I can do right now. Because let's be honest, Brother Butler testified.
Yep.
Right? He looked at his budget.
Yeah.
I testified last night. I looked at my budget.
Yep.
Let's be real and transparent tonight.
Yep.
We look at our budgets.
Amen.
And we give God no incentive.
Wow.
But to turn around and say, God, I want to give beyond my power. I'll put it on a percentage.
Good.
They gave out of their poverty. Number two, they were willing to give beyond their power. The example in Scripture is Hannah and Samuel, and I don't have time to go there. Number three, they gave as fellow laborers. Look in verse number four. In verse number four, notice what Paul says. He says, and notice again the end of verse number three, the semicolon. This is, they were willing of themselves. Verse four, praying us. See that word praying? That means beseeching or begging. Begging us with much entreaty. See that word entreaty? That means with earnestness.
Right.
That means with an appeal. Begging us with much appeal that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. They gave as fellow laborers. The church is asking the missionary to come take their money and help get the gospel out.
Yeah.
Brother Butler, come here. It would be like what Paul is pointing out in this verse is very different than what churches do today. Because churches today, the missionary is calling the pastor saying, can I come and present and can I try to persuade you through the presentation that you would support us? What Paul is talking about is the church saying, listen, the responsibility to get the Great Commission and the gospel out is a church commission. Acts 1:8, you shall be witnesses unto me both. The word both is simultaneous. Unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts. If it was Jerusalem, and then once we cover Jerusalem, and then Judea, it would say, to Jerusalem and then to Judea.
Right.
But it doesn't.
Right.
The Lord linked the word both in there and says, listen, while you are a witness in Denton, Texas, you need to have a witness in Brazil.
Right.
You better understand this tonight, Amazing Grace Baptist Church. It is your responsibility. If no other church in Denton, Texas is obedient, it is your responsibility to be obedient to the Great Commission.
Yeah.
And that is to make sure that you have a witness simultaneously around the world from where you are. Because God hasn't called you there. God has placed you here. But God has commanded us to have a witness there. And you're part of that command. So Paul says these churches, they begged us with much earnestness that we would take upon us the ministry of the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Yeah. Remember last night, the word saints, first time, Matthew chapter 27, those that had died and they were buried, and at the crucifixion, the Lord said, when it is finished, He said, it's finished, and He gave up the ghost, and many of the saints which were dead arose and walked around the city, the picture of those that have died to themselves. I promise you, his mom and dad and her mom and dad, now that there's a second grandchild, be going, are you sure about this, son? Are you sure about this?
You're right.
And he's going to have to die to himself.
Yep.
Huh. But wait a minute. Paul is talking about the church giving his fellow laborers. The church saying, now listen, it is our responsibility to get the gospel, so we want you to be a part of what our responsibility is. Instead of him saying, now pastor, God's called us, and please would you take part? No. Verse number 4 is the exact opposite. Well, you'd like that on deputation, wouldn't you?
It'd be a lot easier.
Pastor's calling you? Well, yeah. Well, just let them call me. Let me come preach for them. Explain the responsibility. The responsibility of getting the gospel out is on the church.
Yeah,
local New Testament church. And so you give as fellow laborers. Look at me and listen to me. As one pastor down in New Orleans, boy, when we were there, you know what he did? He says, Jesse, has God called you to Brazil? No? Well, you understand you've got a responsibility to have a witness in Brazil, don't you?
You're right.
I guess you ought to give to help him get to Brazil.
Amen.
I was sitting there going, I was like, man, this is different. He picked out 3 or 4 people, and he's, God called you to Thailand? No, sir. He said, I guess we're going to help him get to Thailand. He said, can I get a motion? Can I get a second? He looked over at me. He said, Brother Hall, we just took you on for support.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
He says, now you're our witness.
Amen.
You know why? Because that was a man that understands the responsibility of the church. He is a fellow laborer.
Yes, sir.
And you are asking him to take upon him the ministry that God has for you.
That's good.
All right? They gave as fellow laborers. All right? Now keep reading with me, and we'll be done. I promise you, we'll be done in about in tonight. Now I'm teasing.
Come on.
All right. Last thought, number 4, verse number 5 and 6. They gave themselves first,
yes, sir,
and then their possessions. This is the secret right here in verse number 5. And this they did. Paul's a good Baptist. You know what his next words are? Not as we hope. And Paul says, boy, we're going to take up a collection. We're going to take up an offering. Get the gospel out. And the churches of Macedonia, they're going to take up an offering. They're going to help us get to the regions beyond. Paul said, I'm looking forward to getting that check, preacher.
Yep.
They gave, not as we hoped.
Yep.
So as you say, he's a good Baptist? Yeah. Yeah. All of us want the offering to be larger. Would you want the offering to be larger?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. They gave, not this they did, not as we hope, but what? First gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. What they did? Where's that plate? The offering plate came by, and they looked at their wallet. And they said, Lord, I can salve my conscience and throw some of this in. Or, Lord, I can put myself in the plate. They first gave their own selves.
Amen.
to the Lord.
Amen.
You know, when I put myself in the plate, you know what the Lord gets by de facto?
That's it. Amen.
Yep.
That comes with it.
Amen.
Look at me. Y'all going to get mad at me. That's okay. I remind you last night. It's his fault. He invited me. There are many people in a lot of churches in America. You are more than willing to salve your conscience by making a commitment, put some money in the plate, and sending him to the Amazon.
Amen.
But you won't give yourself to the Lord first.
That's right.
You know what God wants? More than this, God wants you. You said, but preacher, if I give myself, God's going to call me to the Amazon. He didn't call me. I don't run up and down rivers like that, praise God. Why don't you look at me. Do not feel sorry for me. Why? I'm not going to the jungles.
Right.
He said, Bangkok, Thailand. Yep. I'm suffering for Jesus. Anybody ever heard of the Mall of America? Mall of America? Yeah. 5 kilometers from our distribution center is a mall that's larger than the Mall of America. Yeah. Don't feel bad for me. There's McDonald's right around the corner.
Amen.
There's Burger King. There's Texas Chicken.
Amen.
Amen. It is good too.
Yeah.
I'm blowing. And my wife always says, "You blow your support every time you talk about this."
You're right.
There's Krispy Kreme.
Amen.
Yeah. There's even a Dunkin' Donuts.
Wow.
America's not the only one running on Dunkin'. Yeah. Yeah. I'm suffering for Jesus, aren't I? Yeah. Well, now, wait a minute. They don't talk like we do. They don't act like we do. There's a bunch of little men in white, orange robes running around. And when people see them in those orange robes, they'll stop and they'll bow to them like they're a god. They see me and I look at them in the eye. I see them, preacher. I point them out. If you were with me and he was in that, I'd say, "Hey, preacher, see that guy right there? You know what he is? He's a liar."
Yep, it's true.
It's what he is.
Yes, sir.
He's telling a lot of people they can get to heaven by their merit.
Yep.
God used some of the poorest churches as some of the greatest examples of missions giving because they were willing to give themselves. And what God wants is God wants us surrendered.
Good.
Will you surrender? So preacher to the mission field? No, will you surrender to God?
Amen.
Look at me and I'm done. We sing at invitations, an invitation song. I'm going to start asking pastors to stop singing it. Because people don't mean it.
You're right.
A lot of times there's a song sung entitled, "I Surrender All."
Yep.
Great.
Don't sing it unless you mean it.
Good.
They first gave their own selves. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you willing to come down and say, "Lord, I give you me.
Good.
I give you me.
Good.
Whatever you want me to do, I give you me." Our Heavenly Father.
Amen.